All right, please, for those of you who are visiting, we are making our way through Philippians, and we're in chapter 4 of Philippians, and we've been going through Philippians 4 from 1 to 9 for a little while now. It's a little mini-series. We called it Run Together for the Gospel, and we're in the last verse of this section, which is verse 9. So turn there with me. In verse 9, but let's read from verse 8, as I mentioned last time. Verse 8 and 9 really should be coupled together, but there was a lot to digest in verse 8, so I'll break it up into two sermons. So let's read from verse 8, and we read, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things." This is what we spoke about last time. The Apostle Paul, however, continues and says, "The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." It is no surprise that we see the Apostle Paul kind of ending this epistle in this manner as an application for us for holy living and discipleship. He's been talking about this through the whole epistle, right? Run the race, be an athlete, be a soldier, look towards heaven, look to Christ. And he is bringing it all together and saying to the Philippians church and to us this morning, well, let me give you an application. And it's a great application for us to be reminded that even Jesus' last words to his disciples were, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." Because what we're going to look at is holy living and discipleship. And Jesus said, make the disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit and teach them to observe all that I commanded. You see, brethren, this text this morning for us is where we are made, where Christians are revealed, where Christians are exposed, where we are trained, where we train in the house of holy, practical Christian living. What else is there for us to do? Believers, we learn the word. Christians, we receive the word. We hear the word. We are witnesses for the word, we practice the word, and we make disciples out of the word. That's what this verse is going to expose to us. That one another that Paul has actually been talking about the whole time. This is not just for the few select elect. This is for every one of us. This is for every individual believer in Saving Grace Bible Church who is responsible to do what Paul is going to be talking about this morning. Because every one of us is responsible to a holy God. Yes, we run together. Yes, we encourage one another, as we will see. Yes, we learn from one another. But every single one of us has to give an account to God for how they desired to grow, how they received the word of God, how they learned, how they heard, how they discipled. Every single one of us, we need to be reminded that we need to manifest Christ. How are you using your giftedness, your gifts? How are you serving? Every individual will give an account to the Lord. Well, we need to be reminded of scriptures in Ephesians chapter 5, 14 to 16, where it says, "Awake. Awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil." Brethren, Christian life is about Christians building each other up so that the other Christian can build another Christian up. And so that the other Christian can build another Christian up. And so that the other Christian, I think you get the drift. And to make disciples. Christians, we are meant to make disciples. We are not meant to grab this beautiful, wonderful light of the gospel truth and put it under a table. We are meant to make that light shine. We're meant to proclaim Christ, not only when we go door knocking, but wherever we are, proclaim Jesus Christ and Him alone crucified. We learn about Christ, we speak about Christ, but we must live Christ. Here's where the rubber hits the road. We need to be in the work of ministry. Apostle Paul, as he ends this epistle, that's how he wants us to learn, to grow, to make disciples, to learn of one another, to grow, as we will see when we go through it. I pray that this morning every single one of us individually will cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, have me. Have all of me. I want to live for you, because remember the Apostle Paul last time, he spoke about what goes into the mind. Today the Apostle Paul is going to reveal to us what happens, what goes into the mind in a practical way. So we ought to say, Lord, use me. Use me with my talents, with my giftedness, with whatever I have for your glory. We rely on one another, brothers and sisters, but we individually need to move forward as believers. So, last time we looked at a call for biblical thinking and the things to think biblically. Today we're going to look at a call for practicing Christianity and the things to practice in Christianity, because that's what the Apostle Paul will take us through. So look at again verse 9. First point, the call to practice Christianity. Verse 9 says, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. We're going to look at the practice these things. The importance of, yes, we fill our mind, we exhaust ourselves with the things of God, and we learn about the things of God. But what do we do with it? What do we do with it? Paul says here, you cannot have one without the other. You cannot say, I think biblically, I have a holy mind, and then you don't practice it. There's none of that practice in your life. You cannot have one without the other. And if you say, I am practicing Christianity, and you don't have a mind that is filled with the things of God, at best, you are a hypocrite and a Pharisee. Both of these things go hand in hand. One cannot say that he's born of God. He's been called by God the Father. He's been saved by Jesus the Son. He's been sealed with the Spirit of God. And he thinks biblically, and his life doesn't match anything that he actually says. This is Christianity 101. We are meant to live out what we actually think. What I found interesting is the Apostle Paul first mentions the mind and then the practical, which in a way makes me think of maybe the believers at that time, they understood they needed to practice their minds, but maybe they weren't practicing holy living. Maybe they weren't practicing what they needed to do. Because we can fill our minds with lots and lots of information, lots of good stuff, lots of things. That's not the problem. Because we encourage you at Saving Grace Bible Church to read and to read and to read. Read the Bible. Read good books, biographies. Fill your minds with good stuff. Amen? I mean, we continuously hear Brother Wes say that through the teaching and through the Tuesday nights. It's good to have this mind filled with the things from above. But what use is it, brothers, that if you fill your mind with the Puritans, if you go home and you say, forget Ralph, this guy that nobody knows, and you go and listen to John MacArthur, God bless John MacArthur, and God bless Paul Washer, and God bless Steve Lawson, and you listen to all these great men, and you know all the church history, and you can pinpoint Augustus and this guy and that guy, and then your life does not match in Christian living. What's the point of that? What's the point if a Christian says, I study all the theology and I know all the catechism and I understand and I know how it works and I know the hypostatic union. I can explain to you the God-man and the divinity of Christ, and yet your life does not match any of it. What good is it, brothers, if you have all the wisdom of Solomon and you keep it to yourself? What's the point? This would be like a doctor, that's his profession, who is studying and understands all the things of the body, the liver, the heart, the kidneys, the all the internal organs, and yet he himself is a truck driver. What's the point of that? And at best, what he does with that knowledge, he stores it up in his mind, like someone who will take photos and they store it up in a photo. Do you guys know what a photo album is these days? Well, we used to take photos and then store it in a photo album. So you take snapshots of your mind is filled with all knowledge and you put it in a photo album, in your case, on your software for the young ones, and you store it up there. And from time to time, because now that's your profession, but now as a truckie, from time to time, you pull up at a truck stop and you say to other truckies, hey, can I share with you what I know about being a doctor? What good is that? This is how sometimes Christians are. They fill their minds with Christian stuff and they can tell you Christian stuff, but they do not live Christian stuff. So the Apostle Paul here now begins to give us another command. And the command is practice these things. Practice these things. Now, I know you've heard me many times through this epistle breaking down a verb, right? And I'm sorry for this, but this is going to be another breaking down of a verb, because I think it will make a whole lot more sense when we come to what is Paul talking about? What are we practicing exactly? If we understand the verb here, practice. It's in the present tense. And what that means is it is here and now. Practice now. It's not for tomorrow. The Apostle Paul, when he says practice these things, he's talking about you heard it, now you do it. It's right now. You don't wait for next week. Don't wait until you practice it now. And it's in an active voice. That means it's not passive. This is not for the lazy Christian, the dreamer, the one, I'm gonna, but he never does it. It's not for that guy. It's an active thing. James says that faith apart from works is what? Dead. And Paul is saying this very thing. Practice these things. There is no deadness here. It's alive. And it's an imperative mood. What does that mean? It's not a suggestion. It's a command. It's a holy command that comes from the Father of lights to practice these things. And Paul is not saying, maybe do it if you don't feel like it. Maybe do it later. No. He's saying there's no option here. You need to do this. And it is also, of course, a second person plural, which means it is actually aiming at every individual in that place. Let me just summarize what I meant by all this. The Apostle Paul is saying we must all personally and individually, in an active lifestyle, practice Christian living in obedience to this holy command. Let me repeat that for you. Paul is saying we must all practice and individually, in an active, continuous lifestyle, practice Christian living in obedience to this holy command. Christianity, true Christianity, leads to biblical holy thinking. And a true biblical holy thinking, brothers and sisters, it leads to true biblical holy living. And this word, by the way, practice, we're still here in the first point, it means to carry out a task. This word speaks about carrying out a task until it's accomplished. To perform good deeds. To commit yourself to something habitually. To make it your lifestyle. Did you get that? Well, what Paul is saying here in essence, because this is This is like a profession. Your profession is that you're a Christian. Then live as a Christian. This speaks about not so much practice so you can get better. Well, yeah, we do get better because we're not professionals. But it's a practice in the way of a doctor would have a practice. All right? So God is saying here, through the apostle, practice Christianity. It should be a natural thing for us to practice Christianity. It should be natural. We need to work at that, but it should be natural. We are not just to think about Jesus, although please, brothers and sisters, think about Jesus. We are not just to talk about Jesus, although brothers and sisters, please talk about Jesus and his death and his resurrection and his return and who he is. But we are also meant to practice Christ in our lives. That means we are meant to carry out whatever Christ has given us, accomplish whatever task he has put before us, perform good deeds for his glory, commit our service to however he wishes in our lives, and live continually and habitually as a lifestyle, as a child of God. But let me share with you, brothers and sisters, I often ask brothers and sisters, and we did this last night, hey, brother, or hey, sister, how's your walk with God? And which I get all sorts of answers, which I thank God for, you know. I like to be cheeky, though, and say, that's fantastic. How's your love for Jesus growing? And sometimes I get good answers, sometimes, you know. And why am I saying this? You say, well, why are you saying this, Ralph? Because I don't want you to miss this. I don't want you to miss this, okay? We practice Christianity because we love Jesus. And because Jesus first loved us, then we thus love him in our external obedience to him. I don't want you to think that what Paul is saying here is this whole do's and don'ts. And I say, hey, brother, how's your walk with God? Well, I read the Bible. I did church history. I did this. I did this. And I say, well, do you love Jesus? Well, yeah. Imagine saying that, hey, how are you and Pam going with your wife? Well, this morning I woke up and I made her breakfast and I took her to the shops and I helped her with the laundry. I mean, would you say I'm talking about my affection and love for my wife? I just did some stuff for her. It's just stuff. We don't want to miss this because Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If my love for Jesus is true, then externally it's going to be revealed in my actions, in my daily life. We do not desire to obey the Lord Jesus out of fear of judgment or loss of salvation or earning our salvation, but we rather are moved with the freedom that we have in Christ because he first loved us. That's what the Apostle Paul says here in Galatians. In Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which now I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who what? Who loved me and gave himself up for me. I want you to acknowledge that. But we do move, brothers and sisters. We do move, right? We ought to move. Here's a little challenge for us. How often do you quote, I don't know, Ephesians 2:8-9, to explain to someone, for it is by grace you're saved through faith. It is not your of yourself. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, lest any man should boast. Amen? All right. But just like Romans 8:28, it has verse 29. Ephesians 2:8-9 has verse 10. So we should read verse 10, I think. And maybe it will make a little bit more sense. We are saved by grace and grace alone through faith alone. It is a gift of God alone and we cannot do anything about it. But if you continue to read, he says, we are his workmanship. Christ saved us. He sculptured us into, that's what we are. And he says, created in Christ Jesus. But for what? For good works. Brothers and sisters, we're created for good works. In fact, it says, which God prepared when? Before the foundation of the world, that we should walk in them. true biblical Christianity is not idle. It is alive. It's never just learning and not practicing the truth. It moves because Christ moves. The Holy Spirit is alive and active inside the Christian life. And so Paul then goes from dwell on these things from the mind to now practice these things. That's our first point in practicing these things, which brings us to the second point. What are these things? There are four verbs here. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Things you have learned, that means we learn. Receive, that means there's a willing will to receive. We heard, we hear, and seen. That means we see. This tells us, brother, even though faith is by Christ alone and He makes it active, it's not alone. It's not dependent on itself. We are codependent of one another. There is a codependency of one another. We learn about Christ. We receive Christ with gladness. We receive and understand Christ. We live with others and practice Christ, and we share Christ. Paul has just finished saying, dwell on these things, and then he says, practice these things that you've seen in me. Well, which things? Think about it. All the things that Paul has been talking about, and even the things that were in verse 8, whatever is true, whatever is pure, whatever, all the whatevers of the mind, Paul says, you have seen them in me. I am the embodiment of this. Whatever you've learned, read Philippians and Philippians alone, and you'll know that they've learned from Paul. Now, some people say maybe Paul was boasting here, but Paul was not boasting. He himself says, I have not arrived yet, but I continue. I make it my aim, right? This is not boasting. Paul is saying, mimic me once again here. Now, the word there, learnt, the verb there, is a word that comes from the same noun as disciple. I don't know how to pronounce it in Greek, but it's the same noun as disciple. What does that mean? It means that there is a teacher and there is a pupil. There is one who teaches and one who learns. Paul says, I taught you. So Paul now is referring to the time that perhaps he was with them and he taught them. He was their teacher, they were their students, and they learned from Paul. However, they were also learning from Paul from this letter. And we remember that Paul's whole life was to make Jesus Christ known, to make Christians grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and to proclaim Christ and Him alone crucified to a dying world. That's why the Apostle Paul could say in chapter 3, I think we looked at it last time, join me. Chapter 3, verse 17, join in following my example. His mind was saturated with the things above, but he also lived out that life. In 1 Corinthians says, be imitators of me just also as I am of Christ. He lived out his Christian life. Apart from his own personal desire to grow, to know Christ, to acknowledge him, to look for him, he had no greater joy than to see his people live in holiness and discipleship. What a great man of God. Last night we had some chats and to some of the guys, and we acknowledge we're really far away from Paul. But our aim is to get to Paul because we want to get to Christ. And because Paul says you can achieve this. Why? He says, well, the things you heard and you've seen and received, and practice them. So there is that, hey, we can do this. We can. The things you learned, Paul would have taught them, not just from the masses, maybe as one-on-one or three-on-one. He taught them from house to house, Think of the people that Paul had an impact in their lives. Titus and Timothy and people like this. There was a lot of teaching from Paul. So what you've learned, Paul is saying, practice these things. Paul didn't just do this because he was an elder or because he was an apostle. No, Paul did this because he loved Christ. He was filled with the heart of Jesus Christ that he couldn't keep it to himself. You don't have to be behind a pulpit for people to learn from you, by the way. You don't have to be an elder or a deacon, but you must be a willing believer so that others will learn from you. You don't just want to be one of those people who takes snapshots and you have a photographic memory of what Ralph just said and you put it in your photo album and only every now and then when it pleases you, when it's good for you, when you want to boast, you pull it out. Don't do that. Use that for the glory of God. But here's another question, brothers and sisters. For you to teach others, because Paul says do this, you must learn yourself. You need to learn yourself. You need to learn. Am I learning? Am I learning? Because what Paul says here in his word learn, as I said, it's for a pupil to learn from a teacher. That means it speaks of somebody who chases after what they need to learn. It's your responsibility. It's your responsibility. Imagine some of you have gone to obviously a school, not all of us, some of you have gone to school and some of you are still going to school. Well, when you go to school and your teacher is teaching you, who's responsible for learning? You are. And if you fail whatever exam, whatever paper you're meant to hand in, it's not your teacher's fault. It's your fault. So it's up to us as Christians to chase after and learn the things of God. Brother Ralph, that means it doesn't apply to me because I'm unlearned. So no one can learn from me because, I don't know much. Well, I've got a really great way to help you this morning. Learn. Get into the Word of God. Open up your dusty Bible and start to learn. Go to your brothers and learn from them. Go to your sisters and hear them. We are responsible to study the Word of God and so that we can share the Word of God. We cannot say, well, the Apostle Paul did it and Ralph does it and Wes does it because they're the elders. They're the holy, holy, holy ones. No, brothers and sisters, you do it as well. If you're one day in the faith and another person doesn't have faith, you guess what? You're a mature Christian in comparison. You disciple other people. So, you listen to the sermons. Take notes. That's great. You listen to a teaching. Do whatever it takes, but make it happen in your own life. But please don't take notes and then go home and you put them in your shoebox. And then from time to time, you get out all these notes. I don't know about you. When I first became a Christian, that's exactly what I did. And then I went back. I said, I have no idea what I wrote here. So one day I cleaned it all up and I put it all in a bin because I said, praise God, I've grown because I had no idea what I wrote. And then I got myself a little book and I started to write it in there. That way you can actually have and you can see, maybe do stuff like that. So encourage your own heart to say, okay, I've grown. I'm growing in this area. I can teach it to others. We need to examine ourselves. Am I being discipled? Am I discipling anybody? Am I always learning or am I too busy? I'm just busy, Ralph. Well, Paul says, whatever you've learned, practice it. And then he says, and received. Look at your text. The things that you have learned and received. Received. You go, well, what's the difference? Let me just explain to you a little bit more on this word. This word is actually really, really beautiful in the Greek, to be honest. It's actually a compound word. But it speaks about receiving it as if it's an inheritance. You take it onto yourself. You're drawing it to yourself. You seize it. You seize it. The word is made out of two words. One speaks of coming beside someone, and the other is to take possession of it. I mean, do we not see the Apostle Paul here? You received it. Paul was beside people, but they were receiving it. And what he's saying here is that you get beside people and then you take that word as your own personal possession. You seize it. You receive what you've learned as precious possession to you. Again, we don't just learn the word. We want to receive it. We want to receive it with gladness and with joy. Because if we just learn in our mind and it's not transferred to our hearts, then what good is that? This takes out all the intellectual head knowledge people who say that just head knowledge is spirituality. No, it's not. You're meant to learn the Word of God and you're meant to receive it to your heart and soul so that it can move by the grace of God your own being to the very third heaven that Paul was lifted up to, so to speak. Have you ever noticed in your own life Christians who are baby Christians, they could barely put two words together or understand perhaps even how to explain the atonement, and yet you look at them and they seem to be so on fire for Jesus. They just don't know much, but they're on fire. Why is that? I'll tell you why. Because the five things that they learned, they seized it and took that into their own hearts. They took that in their hearts. The question is, we must ask ourselves, you're learning something this morning, I hope, but are you receiving it? Are you receiving this truth for dear life for yourself as it is your own personal possession? Because if what you're receiving is not changing you, then you're not receiving it. You're just learning. Because the Word of God is supposed to change us. We're not supposed to be puffed up as intellectual people of God. We're supposed to be humbled by the Word of God and be transformed in the image of Christ. We don't want a head full of knowledge. No, we have an empty heart. We want a head full of knowledge that makes our heart burst for Jesus Christ. It's one thing that we learn the truth of God. It's another thing that we actually take that onto ourselves and receive it. I pray that this morning we will all cry out, Lord, I don't just want to learn your word. I want to receive it. Change me, God. Me. Please, I beg of you. Don't think of the guy next to you or your husband who's not saved or your wife who is at home or your child who doesn't want to hear. Say, God, change me. Let me receive Christ and watch God do miracles in your life. Me, God, I need to change. Not this guy, not that woman, me. Jesus Christ, He's worthy, and I want Him, not just in my mind. I want Him to work through me. What Paul is doing here is calling us believers who have learned to receive His word with completeness and practice it. And then pass it on. Because that's what Paul is saying. Follow me. Then he continues and he says, and also what you heard. So you learned, you received, and you heard. Now think about this. This is something that they heard about the Apostle Paul. Maybe the way he was living his life, the way he was acting under trial, the way he was acting with unbelievers, the way he was acting in prison, how he was living in an ungodly world. Maybe they would have heard something like this. Hey, brothers, be encouraged that the Apostle Paul, though he's suffering, he's trusting in the Lord. He's drawing closer to Christ through the throne of grace. Christ is manifested in him, and he's growing him in humility and in love and the proclamation of the gospel. You say, where are you getting all that from? Philippians. It's in Philippians. Paul was a walking testimony on how to practice the godly, holy thinking in a daily living. From those who heard of him, think about this. What confidence did Paul have? Not only he said, what you learned from me, what you received from me, but what you heard, what did you hear? Think about that. This godly man, his attitude and his holy life is seen by people, and then other people are speaking about him. Have you thought of that in your own personal life? Have you thought about that? What would people say about you to someone else? Can you think about that for a second? Could you say, whatever you heard, practice it? Or some of you are looking at me really strange and go, I'm not sure if I could say that. I'm probably say, whatever you heard about me, it's probably all true, it's bad. I need to grow. But this is a challenge for us because Paul, he can say this about himself because he's living that holy life. Can we say with a clear conscience that about ourselves? Think about it. What if there was a camera on us 24/7? You know. And we say we display it on the screen. We often use that in evangelism, you know. But what about us Christians? In fact, there is a camera on us 24/7. Name's God. Paul then continues and he says, the things you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. The Apostle Paul wasn't just a walking commentary of the Word of God. He was the very embodiment of what the Word of God looks like in a practical way. And all who saw Paul saw Christ. Paul didn't just bleed Bible. He lived Bible. He was more than a Puritan, I think. He lived Bible. And they are called to mimic Paul. They saw Paul not just talk the talk, but walk the walk. This is a great testimony. And you and I, brothers and sisters, this morning, we are called to practice what Paul had, the way Paul was. They understood exactly what it meant to be discipled and to disciple others directly and indirectly by Paul. It's not wrong. Listen, I want to share something with you. It's not wrong to be intellectually minded and smart and learn the scriptures. Please, I beg of you, that's good. What's wrong is if you don't live that out. Because the Apostle Paul, as far as I understand it, he was a very smart intellectual man. But he revealed to us what you do with that intellect. You live it out for the whole world to see. So we have it. The Apostle Paul is calling the believers and you and I to a life of holy obedience and discipleship. Discipleship. They were to learn. Well, they learned. They received. They heard. And they saw. And they practice. Practice. This is what we're called to do, brothers and sisters, to live a holy life, to a pursuit of holiness, to be witnesses of this holy living, to make disciples of all nations, to encourage one another, as Paul has been saying through this whole epistle. And what is the result of that holy living and discipleship? Look at the verse again. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Isn't it? I mean, is that not encouraging? I mean, Paul's already said before, if we pray, the God who surpasses all comprehension, he will guard, the God of peace, God's peace rather, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. But he is saying the very God of peace. So there is this special union, this special fellowship with God for those who actually live a holy life. There is this special, extra special, if you want, holy fellowship and unity with God when we actually practice these things. He says the God of peace will be with you. He's accompanied with you. He's in front of you. He's in the midst of you. He's in you. He's there with you. If the peace of God that surpasses all comprehension guards you and guides you, how much more is that beautiful that the actual God of peace is there with you? This is the encouragement. There is no greater encouragement, but I will say it is for those who practice these things. Jesus said this, listen, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. Then he says, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and disclose myself to him. There is a special thing for those who practice Christian living. Have you ever understood that in your own life when you're living an obedient, loving life? I mean, try this at home. When everything is okay between you and your wife and there's harmony, isn't it beauty? Isn't there affection? Don't you have a special affection that you don't usually feel from time to time, perhaps between you and your spouse? It's a similar concept in that sense, even greater, that when we live wholly in love with Christ, we have this bond, this unity that overwhelms us with joy. That's the God of peace. So, here's what we learn, brothers and sisters. Christianity is learned by means of others. It is received as a precious possession in a heart. It is heard in a life of others as a testimony. And it is reflective, seen by people. We need to examine where we are this morning. If we are to be holy, make holy disciples, teach them to observe all that Christ has told us for them to observe, then can I just begin with this? You need to study the Scriptures. You need to learn the Scriptures. And I don't mean just the end times and who is the, what is the mark of the beast and, you know, great, that's good. But if that doesn't move you to live a holy life, maybe put it aside and have it as a second study. But study the Scriptures. Study, look at Jesus' life. Do your own research. See how Jesus walked. And then mimic him. But be diligent in studying the Scriptures. Be diligent. So that we can say, like the Apostle Paul, to anyone, the things that you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. Could you say that in your own life? May none of us, brothers and sisters, be found to abuse the wonderful grace of God. May we be like the Apostle Paul. Some of us are Christians, baby Christians, and some of us are older Christians. You know what? We are called to do what the Apostle Paul did. Be a witness for Christ. Come out of your shell. Stop being scared. Stop being fearful. Get over it, as my friend will say. Run to Christ. Run to the Lord, because we're meant to live this way. You know what the scary part is about me ending this right now? Is that some of us in this congregation, even though we learned, we heard, we maybe not moved, unchanged, not convinced, not convicted. It's not for me, it's for someone else. Let me tell you, if this is you, is it God's word? There's something wrong with God's word, because we know the word of God is alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And if the word of God will not return to him void, maybe there's something wrong with you. If you are not moved by the word of God and challenged and encouraged or whatever it may be that what the word of God is doing in you, I'm going to have to ask you this. Have you thought that maybe you're not born again? Maybe you're not a child of God yet. And if that's the case, there's only one thing that you must practice this morning. Do you know what it is? Faith. One thing. Let me read you a couple of verses, what I mean by this. Jesus said this, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will, though he die, and everyone who lives in and believes in me will never die." Do you believe that? Do you believe that unto yourself? We are told in the book of Acts, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Do you believe that unto yourself? Do you trust Jesus Christ for your soul? Then we read still in Acts, and there is salvation in no one else, and there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Do you believe that? And John says, he who believes in the Son has eternal life. But then he says, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon him. If there is no external obedience out of a heart of gratitude and thankfulness, and if there is no change in your life, maybe God's wrath still abides upon you. And I plead with you this morning, flee from the wrath of God into the arms of the loving Savior who came to seek and save sinners. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Your word is alive and is active. It challenged us, our hearts this morning, Father, that we must learn, we must receive, we must hear. Now we see, Father, we're meant to teach also, Lord God, that others can see and others can hear and others can receive your word. Help us, Lord, to do this awesome thing, because the God of peace is with us. Now, you promised, Lord God, when you saved us, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. What wonderful truths. For Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. We are the vine, the branches. You are the vine, Father, and apart from you, what can we do? So we run, Lord, into your arms. Help us to live this life that is worth living, for Christ is worthy. For those who do not know you yet, Lord God, the one thing they must practice is understanding that the God of creation became flesh and dwelled amongst us, and we beheld his glory. And on that cross he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then he said, it is finished. That they may know Christ finished the work that they could not even begin. That you will accept them should they put their faith and trust in you. So we pray to you, Father, that you will do a work in the hearts of those whom we love, who are amongst us, and yet they're not of us yet. Please, Father, we pray that you will do this for your Son's glory's sake. Amen.